Tuesday, June 13th, city council meeting for the city of Yorkville. We will start with
recording in progress.
Sorry. You ready now?
Yes.
Okay. June 13th, 2023, city council meeting. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Ray, you want to lead it?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And it is appropriate we start with that because tomorrow's Flag Day, so just keep that in mind. Now, the most important part is the roll call.
Koch is absent. Transier?
Here.
Clocher?
Here.
Soling?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Merrick?
Here.
Terulis?
Here.
Cornelius?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you all. We have quorum. The only thing I'm going to do is item 6 under Mayor's Report. I'm going to move that to number 1 so we can take care of that business before some of the other discussion. Number 1 under Mayor's Report, that is. I apologize. Okay, so having gone through that, we're to presentation. So preschool interns, who's leading this charge? Tim, are you leading this charge?
I'm actually going to turn over to Shay Ramis, our superintendent of recreation, and she's our point person putting this entire partnership together between the city and the school, putting the program all together. So she did a heck of a job. I did want to say a couple quick things, though. You know, it was an outstanding year. You know, anytime you do anything, something new, especially to this level of a partnership with the two government entities, not only did they build a building and then put a whole program together like this, they did an amazing job. The staff did an amazing job. The school district did an amazing job. I want to thank the council for supporting this. It was a unique thing that we've never done before. Thank the school district and the school board. I know Heather and David, their buildings and grounds people were just fantastic and are still helping us address issues. But the heart of that is not only the staff here, the school district staff working with Shay, but it's the staff, the part-time staff, that everyone's in the fire with these kids all the time. It's these interns that this is what we did this all for, was to have a moment like this where we had some high school kids who really enjoyed being with us in the fall, come back in the spring and be full-blown interns with us the entire semester. So it was a good year. I expect bigger, better things out of this program as we move in the future. But Shay will kind of go over the details of how the year went, introduce the interns.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wherever you want, Shay. Yeah, go. That's fine. Shay, you do this stuff better than I do. Where's your Hawaiian shirt? Did you get rid of the Hawaiian shirt?
I wasn't sure. So
that's okay.
I'll put it back on. Hi, as Tim said, I'm Shay Ramis, the superintendent of recreation. And I just want to go ahead and give an overview. So we did have a really exciting opportunity this year with the school district and the Future Foxes, or with the Future Foxes Preschool. It was formerly our Parker's Preschool through the Yorkville Parks and Recreation Department, and with that collaboration, we created the Future Foxes Preschool. And this new program that we did was built on two main goals. One, to successfully and seamlessly transition our preschoolers into the full-day kindergarten program through District 115, as well as giving unique opportunities to the District 115 high school students who are interested in having a career in education and teaching. So with that, before we could even begin making this wonderful thing, we had to get a lot done over the summer. So with the help of the school district and the city staff, we renovated the athletics activity building to create two classrooms and a bathroom. The school district provided two full rooms of equipment and toys and everything we could need to build a really interactive and engaging preschool classrooms for our students. They also gave us all the creative curriculum. So we were able to successfully take the curriculum that all of the students are learning in the grade schools at District 115 and actually start implementing that into our preschool. So that is part of that seamless and successful transition that these kids already know what they're doing before they even step into kindergarten at the school district. So really amazing things to work with them so closely to just make it better for all of our students here at our preschool. And then once we got all of that, then we actually had to start creating the curriculum from the base that we were given, reorganize everything, put up our cabinets, and just really make it into a well-ran space for everybody. So that all happened within about 3 months. And then we were up and ready to go for September 1st when all of our students came in. And with that, we actually reached a maximum. So we had 96 students between preschool and Ready, Set, Go. So we were busy throughout the entire year teaching and having fun with all of our students. And the really cool thing is not only do we have 96 2 to 5 year olds, but then we also were able to make an impact on our District 115 high school students as well. We had over 100 kids, I think it was more around 120, 130 high school students coming into our building, observing through our 2A years, and seeing what our teachers are doing on a day-to-day basis and how these kids are interacting, what they need to do, that this is what curriculum says, but this is what the teachers are actually doing based on those kids' moods for the day. So really, really great to see that. And then on top of that, from our experiences of those kids coming in and observing, we were able to have 2 interns for our second semester, as Tim said. We had Alicia Lopez, as well as Audrey Sims. Both these girls were amazing. The kids absolutely adored them. They had many laughs, lots of great interactions with the kids, and just really, truly brought this full circle for this entire vision that both the school district and the city had. So that was really amazing. And then, as Tim said, not only did we have their amazing time and in the classroom, but then we got to hire them on as part-time staff. So at all of our special events with the kids, you're going to see these 2 smiling at them. You're seeing them out at our baseball fields and at our soccer fields working and monitoring, as well as there are summer camp leaders this summer as too. So really amazing to see all this come together. And on top of that, we are lucky to have Audrey come back for a full year internship next year. So she'll be working with one of our Tuesday, Thursday classes, 3s, and getting even more experience through that. So all these different levels, and due to that success again, we recently just had a meeting with the school district that we're adding even more hands-on experiences to these high school kids, where they are actually now doing our curriculum class. They'll be designing curriculum and then coming in and actually implementing that into our preschool throughout the entire year as well. So really great, amazing things. We look really forward to all what more we can bring to this preschool and the high school students. And with that, as Tim said, we could not do this without all of our staff who's working with the kids. So I did want to go ahead and highlight Emily Shriver. She is our lead coordinator and teacher at the preschool. She's my eyes and my ears, my brain while we're all out there. So she's the one who's making all of this happen on a day-to-day basis throughout the entire year. As well as Samantha Sendra. She is one of our full-time staff as well, who is our monitor as well as one of our teachers when we need substitutes. Again, we have Alicia and Audrey with us. And then we also have Marissa. She is one of our preschool teachers who has been with us for several years now, and is only taking on more as we continue on each year. So thank you guys for everything you've done. Julie, Brenda, thank you for all of your time, as well as Heather and David and everyone at the Yorkville School District for just making this come to life and really making an impact to our Yorkville community and students.
Hey, Shay, we will have some questions for you.
Yeah, but sure.
I'll wait till she's on the floor. So, Shay, I want to know, oh, sorry, getting some other ones. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I got it.
You sure? You want another?
Okay.
Did they get Hawaiian shirts?
We can definitely get that.
If they would like them, not going to force them, but some people really love Hawaiian shirts. And so it's Alicia and Audrey?
Felicia.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, thank you. I heard nothing but good stuff about everything that was going on over there. And actually, the school district, as Shay said, the school district's been real pleased with this, too. So thank you very much for the first year. I appreciate it. I'm excited about it, and I hear great things from the parents and the school district. So it's exciting. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
So along those lines, before we get to the public hearing, so something we want to think about maybe is that whole campus there. We could come up with some name for that, something like the Yorkville Education Campus, something like that, with the library there, and now the school district has the old city building. We sold some assets, people, so that's a good thing, and those monies are going to capital funds, but we could think of a name for like an education campus over there. So, excellent, thank you. Now we're on to the public hearing. So I have to open this public hearing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I will open a public hearing for the 2023 water bonds to receive public comments on the proposal to sell revenue bonds of the city payable from revenues derived from the operation of the city water delivery system and other funds in the amount not to exceed $11 million in bearing interest at a rate not to exceed the maximum rate authorized by law. or in lieu thereof its general obligation alternate revenue bonds in amount not to exceed $11 million for the purpose of providing funds for the enhancement of the city's water delivery system, including replacing existing water mains, construction of new wells, modifying the existing raw water main and water treatment plant, and other capital improvements related to the system. But you can stick around for the public hearing. You don't have to leave. Okay, so the public hearing is now open. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on the 2023 water bonds? Hearing none, public hearing is now closed. Thank you. Did you want to come and speak? Oh, she's leaving too. Okay, well, then we cruise right along. Okay, next we are on citizen comments on items on the agenda. Does anyone want to comment on an item on the agenda? Okay. Next, we have the consent agenda. We have minutes from the City Council meeting May 9th, the special City Council meeting May 30th, bill payments totaling $1,563,445.15. Is there a motion and a second?
Motion.
Tarullis?
Second.
Second by Plocher. Roll call, please.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarullis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. So next, before I get into the number six, which I moved to number one, a couple comments. I'm going to ad lib here a little bit, go off script, as I like to say. Number one, I don't know if I reported about our conference in Las Vegas in our Hawaiian shirt. So, of course, I had one of my Hawaiian shirts out one evening and ran into some gentlemen who really said, I like that shirt. And I said, well, I like your shirt. So we traded shirts. Well, this gentleman ended up, he was from England. And then he ended up taking a trip. These Europeans travel a lot. I kind of envy him for that. They do travel a lot. He ended up, after going a week in Vegas or 2 weeks in Vegas, he flew over the pond to Spain. And Bart saw on Instagram, I think it was, pictures of our Hawaiian shirt at a beach resort in Spain. So it's traveling the world. So I'm kind of excited. I've got one somewhere in Africa right now, and I'm waiting to get a picture back from that too. So, next thing is, I wanted to say, Shay, you're still here, okay. And Tim, I don't know what you called it, but that out of school party, whatever it was.
Beach party.
That was awesome. There had to be 1,000 people there. And Ray, thanks for helping out. And I tell you what, and I told this to Tim, the coolest thing, it's one of the coolest things I've seen. I wish I had a video going. There's this bubble machine. I don't know if anybody's seen the pictures. There's a bubble machine. It just blew up all kinds of these bubbles all over the street. But they're environmentally friendly bubbles. So all these bubbles. And when they flipped that machine on, you could just see the kids. It was like, you know, moss going to a light at night. It just, like half the park emptied out to this one area. It was the coolest thing to see. But there were probably 600-700 kids there. You sold some wine shirts. The kids' sizes ran out, I think, right? Yeah, so it was a great party. Thank you. And I think you said you're going to make an annual event, right? Yeah. Well, it's got my approval. So whatever that's worth. Thank you. It was fun. I appreciate it. Okay, next, we have appointments to boards and commissions. Do we just have the one? Mm-hmm. Looking for a motion to appoint Jason Hedman to a 3-year term for the library board.
So moved.
I think I heard Transier, and who was the second? Merrick? Okay, now, just a little note on this one. Jason, who is here with his family, and they had hot dogs and ice cream out today, thank you. So Jason and I had several discussions a couple years ago, if some of you remember, when we had some differences of opinion with the library board. And I said to him, I said, Jason, I said, listen, I'm going to go a different direction for now, but I think you'd do a darn good job. If an opening comes up in the future, would you consider it? He said, yeah, I might. And sure enough, we advertised, and he was the first one to reach out to me. He texted me, I think he did. I know he sent an email. We spoke on the phone. He said, I'm still interested. I said, well, I think you'd do a good job. And here we are. So I'm looking for your support for him. He'll do a fantastic job, and he actually will be very interesting. Now, we've had some, you know, recent resignations for different reasons. And he's going to bring back some experience. And Shelley spoke very highly of him, too. So I just thought it was kind of neat how he's the type of person I like. Somebody who doesn't hold a grudge and just, you know, buries a hatchet and moves on. Not that we ever fought or anything like that. We just had a different opinion. So anyway, so welcome back. Well, I'm saying that prematurely. They might tell me no. So anyway.
roll call.
I need to have a roll call first.
Tranzier.
Yes.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Welcome. Congratulations. And glad you could join us for dinner and the tour. It was like a three-hour tour. It started at 4, ended at 7. And the shirts are appropriate for that, too. I never thought of that. Okay. So, back to Mayor's Report, item number one, the 2023 bond underwriter engagement letter. I'm looking for a motion and second, and I'll have Rob explain this.
Well, this is the engagement letter for the underwriter, which we use for every single bond. We have used R.W. Baird for 3 of our last 7 bond issues. The underwriter is primarily responsible for marketing and facilitating the purchase of the city's bond offering to potential investors. We looked at 4 prominent local region underwriting firms, Stifel, Robert W. Baird, Bernardi Securities, and Northland Securities. And along with the help of our financial advisor, Sphere Financial, we went ahead and ranked them based on experience, water system, financing experience in particular, a marketing plan, firm resources, and proposed fee. And the winner with the highest composite score of 9.48, also the low-cost provider of $33,518 estimated, was Robert W. Baird.
Excellent, thank you. Any, well, Chris, you're looking for, thank you. Was that Funkhauser? Is there a second by Polcher, was that?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Tranzier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Very nice. Okay, next is an item up for discussion. So we have the places of eating tax discussion. So as you recall, or if you don't, we'll explain it to you again. In the budget, we have enhanced revenues for the water fund. And as we discussed, there's a couple options. One is the places of eating tax, or if someone has other ideas, and the other is to raise water rates. We know whether we do this or not, water rates are going to continue to go up. Just this could delay them, you know, for maybe another year or so, probably a year, and it would keep the rates lower than they would otherwise be. This isn't end-all be-all. This would potentially, we're estimating maybe 10 to 15% of our total revenue needs when the bonds are at, you know, full capacity. But it's just an item that I'm not advocating for or against, but we do need to discuss it and take action in the bond language that we just approved or talked about at the hearing does contemplate that. So I will open it up for discussion. Just want to kind of set the table and let you all have discussion. Mr. Funkhauser, you look like you're ready to say something.
I'm waiting to see if anybody else has anything.
Okay.
I'll start.
Mr. Tranzier, please.
Well, I don't think anyone likes the idea of rates going up, but based on what we need to do to have water for generations to come, that's an inevitability. And I don't think anyone likes the idea of having to find alternate sources of revenue. But when it comes to alternate sources of revenue, this is probably one of the better ideas that we can consider. It is not mandatory. It is not like raising water rates, where it is on a utility that everyone is going to require. This is an optional tax. And I know it's going to be borne by the diners. It's not necessarily borne by the establishments. I also think that this is one that's not going to be entirely borne by residents of the city of Yorkville. Other people are going to be able to come to our community, and there has been a boom in restaurants and places to dine over the last several years, but this is going to be a tax that's going to be spread out among other constituencies from out of town. So in terms of a tax and a source of revenue, this is probably one that is least painful as an ideas of others that we can consider. So I know others probably have the same kind of opinion, or they have differing opinions, but that is at least my opinion of this.
Thank you. Others?
I'd just like to point out that people that are concerned about people not eating here
are already paying those taxes in other municipalities, other cities close to us, and don't even realize it. So it is definitely something that we should really consider as a revenue source. 1% is what's being proposed, correct?
It's what was discussed. We don't have an actual proposal this time, but it was just, we threw out 1% would raise, what do we estimate, Rob? 700 grand in revenue?
Correct.
Over there.
Yeah.
That's an estimate.
I don't even really think people would notice it on their bills. That's why I would be very much in favor of that.
And just to follow up again, I'm not advocating for or against, but just so people understand, this would be not in groceries. So if you went bought groceries at Jewel, Aldi, Target, wouldn't be charged that. But it would be on, like, if you buy liquor at Jewel or Target, would it be on the, like, if you went and bought a bottle of beer or a can?
No, it's not a place of eating tax. It's still a grocery item. It's when you sit down,
okay,
you eat where it's a restaurant that you carry out.
Okay.
So that it wouldn't affect your home purchases.
Okay. But like Subway, if you take that to go,
absolutely,
okay, even though you may not eat there, okay.
Right.
But it doesn't affect groceries, so. Others?
So that does include, I guess, businesses inside the business. We think of the gas and wash, you know, there's two eateries inside.
Yes.
So that kind of, basically.
Eateries, okay. Hit the down, right. Eateries, considered.
Mr. Song?
Same thing for like the water park, that would be included as well.
Probably yes, because it's a place to sit down and eat, or carry out to eat. Prepared foods.
Yeah. Mr. Funkhauser.
Is there a cap by statute as to what this rate could be?
No, as a matter of fact, if you go across the state, 2% is 1.5 to 2% is the average amount. And there are administrative costs here, so that many towns have gone to 2% because of the fact that the city has to administer it directly and issue forms, collect, take on enforcement for those that entities that may not pay. So 1% is the lowest end. Never seen less, and I more often have seen more.
So with that, with no cap, and I understand what you're saying about the average. I went out and I found there's several resources besides what staff put together for the places of eating taxes for local areas. There are a couple resources for the state of Illinois that have compiled all the municipalities that do have these taxes. And I went through, read some of them, their ordinances, their processes, and I did catch that, yes, they hold out administrative because just like any tax, if you don't pay, someone's going to come collect it. So I understand that. So I was just, my concern is, it is an open-ended tax. There's no limit to it. There's a reasonable expectation of what you would put onto it.
The maximum I have ever heard about, which is done, is 5%. I've never heard more than 5%.
And I would assume, even if this council put a cap on that, that's not binding to future councils.
Because you're absolutely right.
It could be changed at any time. So keep that in mind. It could go up. You know, we could always repeal it, or not necessarily repeal it, but we could drop it if we wanted to. And that's where my concern is, something like this, it's a volatile number. You know, if you have really good years, the economy's good, you're going to see much higher revenues than if you have a really tight year. That number is not something that is as stable as, say, the water rates in terms of revenue. So when we're going to pledge this to the bonds, potentially, it's one of the many sources. It may not always be that 700,000, it could be 500,000. So we just need to keep that in mind. I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm not sold on it. I personally, and I know, Kathy, you said you haven't really seen it, but the 0.5%, I'd rather start it low, see how it goes, and then work it up. Because we are coming out of a really hard inflationary time. Numbers are looking better, but I want to make sure our businesses are still solid and stable. While I know we have to raise funds for our water systems. So, double-edged sword. Outside people coming and paying it, or residents. Water park is a good example, but they also do pay a amusement tax, and I think they're one of the very few in the city that does pay that. So we have very we have businesses like that that'll have extra taxes put onto it that others don't have, other businesses don't have. So, something to think about.
So just to be clear, nowhere in discussion I've had with staff have we proposed a 5%. Just because I want you two to make sure that's clear that I'm not proposing 5%. Anyway, further discussion.
I don't think you'd get an agreement on 5% from any of us. Yeah.
So regarding if we were to move forward with this, say we started at 5%, is there any certain time frames we have to hit? Like, can we adjust it quarterly? Could it be monthly? I mean, is there any parameters around that?
Because it is administered locally, you have a lot of flexibility. Yes, you do. The ordinance that I have drafted talks about monthly unless the business does not pay their sales tax monthly. It's a slower business or not as active. It's really considered monthly. So that's where the administrative cost with the monthly payment and double check on it is my concern for the projections on the revenue end of it.
So Mr. Mayor, to your question and Mr. Funkhauser's point, we could start at 0.5%, we could start at percent, start at percent half, whatever you want. The numbers in our budget contemplated either approximately 1% kicking in January 1st or about a 15 to 18% water rate increase. And I think, Rob, we figured like last year, starting at maybe one portion in September and the final portion in January or February. So a staggered rate increase of 15 to 18%. We can do whatever we want, but that's our budget. When we put the budget together, that's what it contemplated. Other questions, comments? Mr. Solon, sorry, and then I'll come back here.
This is kind of for Rob. How taxable would this be on your department?
I think once we got it up and going, it wouldn't be bad. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a little bit of work to, you know, to get everything organized in the beginning, but I think long-term, it won't be much of an issue.
I saw a hand over here.
I was just going to kind of feedback. Do you get, like, a ballpark number and what it's going to cost administratively off of that $700,000?
Well, it's really just opportunity cost. Well, yeah. Just the time staff could have spent working on something else, but there's no, you know, external cost or accounting cost associated with it.
Opportunity costs. I've heard that from freshman economics or something. That's, I like that.
I pay attention, yeah. I remember that.
Other questions or comments?
If we did the 10 to 15% increase in the water rates, what's that approximate additional cost per household?
$700,000 roughly for a full year, so what's that? Is that right? Was it more?
Yeah, it ended up being between like $5 and $10. I think it was per billing cycle or per month. Was it per month?
I think it's per month. Yeah.
Per month for like 70% of the
$10.
So it's the same impact as what we communicated last year, which was kind of, you know, there'd be a certain percentage of people would be less than $5 a month. The majority would be between $5 and $10, and then you know, the higher users would be $10 to $15. Higher residential users.
I think what I'm trying to weigh is that increase versus that place of meeting tax increase. Is your average family going to spend more on that additional 1%?
Sure.
Are they going to spend more on water rate increase?
Yeah, the water rate increase would be roughly about $5-$10 a month that it comes out to. Mr. Funkhauser.
Kind of hang on that one. So we've talked about water meter replacements across the board because the efficiency of the meters degrades as time goes by. We have a lot of older ones, like my place, it's 20 years. That's at the time frame that we start losing efficiencies. I know there's a cost to the replacement of all water meters, but the extra revenue that you would gain, if I recall, outweigh the cost of implementation in the long run.
In the long run, yeah, it'd be several years though.
And it's a matter of, yeah. Are we on pace to be looking at that and implementing that citywide across?
We are. This year, I believe there's either $700,000 or $900,000.
How long do you think the total cycle?
Oh, in 4 years.
4 years. And then revenues on that coming in?
I can get those. Census, or that's our meter supplier, they actually have a great chart that they're willing to bring in.
And then have we projected that into the five-year budget?
No.
Okay.
We have not implemented any revenue assumptions on that. So from prior analyses, though, I know that, you know, after 10 or 20 years, you know, your water meter might only be catching 80 or 85% of what you're doing. So, you know, there is a fair amount of loss, and it just depends on the age of the meter and the construction of the meter, quite frankly. It can vary from meter to meter.
One thing to go ahead.
I was going to say, so for that, if you're catching 80, 85%, that 15, 20% that you're losing that we're going to gain, plus a 15% increase.
Well, that's not necessarily true, though, because...
Not across the board.
No, but think of this. It's important to keep this in mind. Most of our users, they're in a range of water. When we go to Lake Michigan Water, we'll probably have a component where we bill for the raw water because we're paying for the raw water. We'll capture more at that point, absolutely. But right now, you have a range, and I couldn't tell you what those ranges are. Eric would probably know better than I would. If you're within this range, which most households are, if you're paying for 10% more water, you're probably still going to be in that range. So I don't know that this company can come and tell us exactly how much we're going to make on that, because are they going to be able to predict how many people are going to jump to the next bracket? I don't know. I understand what you're saying, and I can't say it's wrong, but we're not going to get a 15% increase on those homes. It's might be 5% at the most. That'd be my guess, because most people don't go above that volumetric range.
That's something I'd want to see then is, you know, are we within that threshold, or do we need to adjust that?
Do
we need to drop that bulk rate?
My feeling is this, and we're obviously going to have to discuss this going forward. We're going to have several components going forward with the Lake Michigan Water, DuPage Water. We're going to have, in my mind, and we're going to talk about this, I think, maybe next week or the week after one of the committee meetings, we're going to have to raise the connection fees for new homes. And it's going to be, it could be up to $5,000 a home, maybe more. Increase, not total, but increase. That's going to be one component. Another component we're going to have is we're going to have on the monthly bill, like we have now, an infrastructure fee. We're going to have an infrastructure fee, which is going to have to go higher because we're going to have over $100 million infrastructure. And then we're also going to have a raw water fee. Now, whether we bake in an operation fee into that or have that as a separate component, that's something we have to determine, because there's always going to be the cost of the staff and the equipment. There's going to be the cost of the water, and then there's going to be cost of the lines themselves. So it's going to be a combination. I don't have anything, nor does staff at this point, but we're going to have that discussion, because those are things that are really going to be different than now. Now we have relatively fixed costs for water, you know, the staff, the maintenance, the infrastructure, but the water we're pumping out of the ground, we're not quote paying for that. Now we're going to have that component. It's going to be a different formula. It is. So anything else in that? I mean, it's a good discussion. I don't have the right answer, but we've got to figure something out. As far as this goes, we still need to figure out for this current fiscal year we're in how we're going to come up with additional revenues. And I understand, you know, there's comments on both sides. You know, to your point, Mr. Funkhauser, this would impact some businesses, potentially. But the water rate increase is going to impact everyone, including those businesses, because they're going to be paying more for water. And the person coming to eat from out of town, when they get a cup of water with their dinner, or the cost of the water for those dishes, it's probably so insignificant, the cost of that meal, I don't think that's going to impact them. So I understand you don't like it. I mean, if you want to raise water rates 15 to 18%, we have to do it. This study we're talking about, we're not going to have the information back. We're not going to replace those meters in time. That's a longer-term project. We need to discuss some type of revenue enhancement for this current fiscal year. So if you don't like this, I'm fine with that. But then to be prepared to say we got to raise water rates 15 to 18%. Over the, you know, stagger them over, you know, several months. Others, and again, I'm not advocating for or against, but there's a counter to each side of it. Rusty, any thoughts? So we need to make a decision here July, August at the latest?
The underwriters and financial advisors have actually recommended that we make a decision by the next meeting.
Oh, okay. Well, that's quicker than I thought.
And at the latest, that first meeting in July, we can have our.
Okay, so any last comments? So I'm hearing Mr. Pulcher?
I'm fine with it at a percent.
Okay. Leave it there. Others that have any direction? Seaver?
I am fine with a 1%.
Okay.
I agree, 1%.
Transier? Mr. Funkhauser? That or a water rate increase of 15 to 18%?
Well, we're going to have to do multiple things. So.
No, I'm saying, but for this current fiscal year.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, well, when it comes up, you can, you know, we'll bring it forward and vote however you want. Rusty?
I'm comfortable with the 1%.
Okay, we'll put together some language for that. One other point, too, again, to keep in mind with the meters and that whole discussion. When we go to the new formula for water use, and we've even seen it last year, I get this. Like any revenue, could be up or down. This 1% place heating or whatever, with 1% sounds like. But water usage can be up or down. Rob, we ended up having lower water uses last year, did we not?
We did.
Yeah, by a couple hundred thousand, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, and then as we start billing more for the cost, the raw cost of water, you know, the basic instinct, the human instinct, economic instinct is something costs a little more, I might be a little tighter with the water usage. So, you know, that's going to fluctuate too. So, there's no perfect answer. There really isn't. I haven't won a $500 million lottery where I could, you know, donate $100 million to the city. And don't hold your breath in that, because that's probably not going to happen. Okay, well, we'll put something together. We'll either have the next meeting or the meeting after. Good discussion. I appreciate it. Again, I think somebody said no one likes it, but it's something we have to do. Okay, excellent. Next. We have a resolution approving an agreement for disbursement of Kendall County's American Rescue Plan Act funds, ARPA funds. We need a motion on this, is that correct? We need to actually approve this.
Yes.
Is there a motion? And a second?
Moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Terulis. Okay, who's gonna discuss this?
Yeah, this is the next step in the Drainage District Intergovernmental Agreement process. So we had approved a settlement agreement with the Rob Roy Drainage District several months ago, and subsequently, after discussions with the county, they've agreed to grant us $500,000 basically to pay for the Drainage District's work, which we anticipate bringing an intergovernmental agreement in front of you in the next few months with the scope of that work and what's going to be done. But for Kendall County's purpose, they are trying to get their last ARPA grant funds out the door and committed. And so they've approved this on our end. It basically said, we trust that the city and the Drainage District are going to come to an agreement, and you just have to spend the money by the end of 2024, and we're good with loaning, or giving us the money to do that work.
Questions, comments? Mr. Funkhauser.
I got a couple. So the ARPA funds, as it is put in here, it mentions make necessary improvements for water, sewer, or broadband infrastructure. And then digging into that a little further, construct, improve, repair wastewater treatment plants, control non-point sources of pollution, improve resilience of infrastructure to severe weather events, create green infrastructure, manage and treat stormwater or subsurface drainage. My question on this is, we're taking this as this is a water project. How is that to interpret it? The creeks, the ditches that are outside the city, we are considering as stormwater.
Yes.
As stormwater management controls?
Yep.
Is that how we are?
Yes, we outfall to that creek.
Yep.
So it's not, what I haven't seen is the scope of work to be done.
Of course.
Is the scope of work within municipal jurisdictions, or is it in unincorporated county areas within the district? What do we think the scope is?
City limits. If it's out of city limits, it would be a very small portion, but I can't think of any. It's the Rob Roy Drainage Creek. So from Box Hill on the south end to Route 30th.
Okay. Because I know there's some parts that are in and out.
Yeah, but for the most part, I believe all of that is actually.
I think the Sexton property right on 34, that piece is out. Everything north and everything south. I think there might be a couple of jars.
Correct.
But mostly that's all. So we're considering that to be municipal stormwater control for what? So that's how we're justifying.
The broader categorical references within the agreement are the language that's used in the ARPA rules. And so that's the county's interpretation of how this project fits within the eligibility, and not necessarily a statement of ours on a narrative of what's going to be done.
And we feel that this will have a benefit to the municipality for the expenditure of these funds, more than, say, if the county gave the city a $500,000 grant for water infrastructure projects such as Lake Michigan Water.
This does not contemplate that. Yeah, this is strictly, this was a, like we do with many projects, joint intergovernmental agreements. The drainage district needs to do some work. This is a way to get that work done and benefit city residents, substantial numbers of city residents.
We are preparing information to apply for broader water funds through ARPA.
So there's still funds that we could be eligible for, not through the county necessarily?
Through the county.
Through the county.
So with their last remaining allocations, we've expressed interest, obviously, in defraying our residents' costs in the overall projects. Preliminarily at the staff level, they've expressed some interest in receiving that application, so we're in the process of preparing it.
And so due to the settlement agreement, is it the reason that it's here first, or this one, as compared to a water project for us? Because we have to actively look for grants through the settlement agreement? Is that why we're looking at this one first, possibly?
This one is separate than any water infrastructure project. This is strictly to do something with the drainage district for the drainage district. Doesn't contemplate the others. That's not what's on the table for discussion. Any other discussion?
Well, I mean, it is discussion.
It's separate. You're talking about a separate project than this. Any other discussion on this project? Roll call, please.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Yes.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Public Works Committee report. Do we have anyone? No. Okay. Economic Development Committee report.
No report.
Public Safety Committee report.
No report.
Admin Committee report.
No report.
Park Board, Tim, anything else?
Just a couple of things, Mr. Mayor. The city school golf outing is this Thursday.
Oh, yes.
Over at Blackberry Oaks Golf Course. Summer solstice is next weekend, June 23rd and 24th, down at Dover Front Park. And then the city's independence celebration is on Tuesday, July 4th.
Very nice. Planning and Zoning Commission?
No report.
City Council?
No report.
City Clerk?
No report.
Community and Liaison? Staff report?
No reports.
Mayor's report number 2. Bart, anything on the city or water?
For the city building updates, we do anticipate having a discussion about the public works facility next steps at the June public works committee meeting. We're still in the process of preparing those materials. That packet is supposed to go out on Thursday, so you should see something on that here in the next day or two. And then for the water study update, I did draft a memo that just had a couple different updates about the DuPage Water Commission intergovernmental agreement, expected to come back in front of you here in a couple weeks, and a couple other just random project updates, including when it may or may not be appropriate to do a standalone, water meeting.
Questions from Bart? Additional business? I have none. Any citizen comments on items not on the agenda? Just state your name at the podium, please.
Anthony Sullivan, the commander of the Yorkville American Legion. Mayor Purcell and City Council. The American Legion has been a fixture in Yorkville since 11 December 1941. For over 82 years, the veterans of this community have been giving back. The American Legion works hard to promote the four pillars on which the Legion was founded. They are veteran affairs and rehabilitation, national security, Americanism, and children and youth services. Unfortunately, despite being in Yorkville for these 82 years, there are still many people that see the American Legion as a local drinking establishment or a place for cheap hall rentals. Contrary to that opinion, the American Legion is so much more. This year alone, the American Legion in Yorkville has provided over $21,000 in charitable aid to veterans and non-veterans in the local Yorkville community. We have assisted in military honors for 16 veterans that have been laid to rest since 1 January 2023, and close to 50 veterans during our current calendar membership year. We have assisted in collecting and distributing over $10,000 in toys to local Kendall County families in need, including families that are by 115 school district. The American Legion has provided $4,000 in scholarships, not including what the Sons of the American Legion and the Auxiliary have provided. We also sit on the Kendall County Veteran Assistance Commission Board, overseeing the $400,000+ in tax money that is used to help our veterans in the community. The above list is only a snippet of what our Legion does in Yorkville to give back and support our community. A full report of all money and hours spent in the community is sent to the Department of Illinois and our national office to be reported to U.S. Congress. Imagine the service hours and money invested in the community with the Yorkville American Legion, and then when you add the other two legions in our county, and then across the state and nation. The American Legion is proud of its veterans in this community and will always look out for what is right and just when it comes to these men and women. We heard speeches on Memorial Day that emphasize PTSD and veteran suicide. On average, 22 veterans a day commit suicide in our country. We are now seeing 501c3 organizations who are boosting posts in the Yorkville community, looking to capitalize on these veterans' deaths by promoting being part of Regiment 22, to receive upfront parking, free private bathrooms, meet and greets, free food tastings, and so on, for an annual donation to events that are going to be taking place here in Yorkville. This is disgusting that an organization would use the death of a veteran to try and promote monetary gain. The American Legion is a 501c19 veteran organization. U.S. Congress holds our national charter. The American Legion does not come into any community and strip their resources and leave. We have been here through thick and thin, and we have always been about giving back to our community. The American Legion is asking that you support the veterans in the community in Yorkville. We are asking that you create and adopt a resolution on behalf of your veteran community in which the city of Yorkville would appoint one or more city council representatives to investigate and verify outside 501c3 nonprofit organizations that claim to support veterans when looking to do business in Yorkville and or looking for donations or use of city assets. This would include the 501c3 donations of support where they are ultimately spent. The American Legion has always taken a stand to look out for our veterans in the community. It is this community that we have called home for 82 years. We look forward to your support and the support of City Council. Thank you. If anybody would like a copy of this letter, I have it for you.
Thank you, Tony. Any other citizen comments? No need for executive session, is that correct? I'm asking you.
Correct.
I'm asking you, so.
Correct.
Okay. I am looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second? Second by Song, maybe. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Very nice. Thank you all. I can just take care of whatever.